So why is selling on Amazon harder than you think?
I think a lot of I think social media hasn't helped. I think YouTube doing videos about, I know we've touched on this on another podcast, I know, but I think, yeah, just talking about how you can go from being in massive debt to being a millionaire overnight kind of skews people's, like, gives them misconceptions about Amazon, and then they think that they can come on there and become a millionaire overnight and quickly find that's not the case. And also because it is very, very easy to buy on, and yet to sell on it is a completely different kettle of fish. So, yeah, I think a lot of, you know, of our clients in particular that come to us will have maybe given it a go, tried to sell it, you know, their products themselves, and have then found that a whole host of problems have come their way and they now don't know what to do. They've invested a lot of time, a lot of money into it, want it to be a success, and don't really know what direction to go in, and you know, come to us to kind of, you know, us to kind of take the reins and steer it in the right direction.
But I think that's why people think that it's harder than what you initially think it is. You might just go on there, list your product, put some stock in, and boom, sales will come, something will happen.
Absolutely.
But there is so many aspects of Amazon that you have to manage, whether it be customer satisfaction and responding to customer messaging, or whether it's managing your account health, making sure that everything is going on track services, or you're not, the products aren't defective. And, you know, there's a multitude of things on there with product policy violations, which is when you're maybe infringing on other intellectual property. You have to be cautious about what words you use in your listing. A big one for me, which I learned, was Velcro. Velcro is a trademarked term and you couldn't use it. And so you have to rephrase it, hook and loop fastener is what then you would go down the route. And there are so many caveats to it where even us as experts, we come across different techniques or different things that we see that we then have to avoid because we didn't know about it before. And Amazon always likes to add new rules and regulations in. And that is a lot for someone who it's probably just a side part of their business. They probably sell to other retailers. They've got their own website. And Amazon's kind of like a side project almost, that it's not the main focus for most businesses that we work with. And that's why people like us can be really helpful, because yes, we can manage it and take that time away from you. But I'm sure the people that are running the Amazon for the businesses that we're working with, they're not Amazon experts. They're not going to know what half the notifications Amazon send over mean, or how to stock manage the most effectively. And it's a really big platform and there is lots to work on. And I think it's a lot to expect most sellers to understand every aspect of an account on Amazon.
Yeah. One of the frequent ones that turns up when you get a new seller account, the first thing that comes, especially with brands, is they'll try and list a product and they'll get that big pop-up that says, it gives us a certain error code and it says, we don't recognize this brand, we don't recognize this barcode, et cetera, et cetera. And it's what we define as being the kind of brand approval process. So it's not the same as Amazon brand registry, which is something different. But if you are the first person to sell a brand under a brand name, Amazon will want you to verify that the barcode matches that brand. And that is a regular pitfall that people come up against first, isn't it? Because you have to have, in most circumstances, bar a couple, you have to have barcodes that are presented by GS1. If you have a brand name, which all of our businesses do, they are brand owners, you have to be able to prove to Amazon that that barcode is associated to that brand name by taking photos of it. At the moment, again, we're talking in December 2023, may change at a later date, but that's the process that Amazon follows. That is a pitfall that I see people regularly coming up against. I made a YouTube video about a year or two now on those error codes, and it got the most views for my relatively small YouTube channel. But it was a common problem that was cropping up, and that was the first real step that people were struggling with, was understanding what they need, which is barcodes, understanding the requirements of their product, how they're going to sell, how they're going to ship. And people just kind of come onto it like they would start, you know, a website, or, you know, they've just launched a new course or something, like they've made something online, but they don't realize those kind of fundamental pitfalls. And that brand, what I call the brand approval process, is the big finisher for a lot of people. Then they'll come to someone like us and say, I can't get my brand on Amazon, or I can't get my product listed. And that's a big one, isn't it? And
I think, well, with like online tutorial videos and stuff that people will go and watch themselves just to try and work it out themselves, they'll Google it, they'll go to YouTube, they'll then think that they can fix it themselves. I think the problems with that is that often they're out of date, because Amazon updates its, for example, if you're selling on Seller Central, that has changed massively over this year alone in terms of the different tools, the programs, where they locate certain things. So then if you're trying to follow an online tutorial, you're probably going to find it's out of date, unless it's one that's been updated, you know, on a regular basis by a full-time YouTuber. And so, yeah, you can then, you know, you can end up going to the wrong place, change the wrong part of something, and actually cause another problem. And yeah, so again, looking at why those sorts of videos don't help, I think, you know, obviously we work on the account, you know, we work on multiple accounts every single day. So as soon as we see the smallest little change, all of us are like straight away like, have you seen this? Yeah. This is now here. And we're like, oh my God, when did they change this?
It's like how they changed flat files a month or so ago. And it's even worse now, in my opinion, than what it was before. It's more confusing. But if you're someone that isn't necessarily up to date with Amazon changes in FBA fees, things like that, and that's going to affect your margin. If you're not on top of that all the time and don't have the time to dedicate to make sure that you're aware of changes in fees, so then your profitability changes, or changes to how content can appear, and then you need to adjust. So obviously with videos, if when that probably came about years ago, that you could put videos on the listing, you then needed to jump on and make sure you had a video, or with Premium A Plus, making sure that when you become eligible, that you maximize that on your account. And it's very much, you can get to a stage with an Amazon account, I think, that work becomes maintainable, especially if you've got a smaller range of products, but there's always additional things that you can do, or you need to be conscious of, or new news that Amazon bring out that may affect your account, might affect your category. I mean, they released, didn't they, a couple of months ago, that there were certain categories now that need the recommended retail price put on every single listing, and you can get suppressed if you don't have it. And it's, if you don't have that time to dedicate, or you don't know that that needs to happen, it could then be detrimental to your account. And the same with account health problems we see. If you don't have an over 95% valid tracking rate consistently, your entire account can be deactivated and you have lost sales, and it can be a massive impact to a business. And so as much as, you know, there are basics on Amazon that you might be aware of and understand, I think it's a very complex web where everything is interlinked, and one change on one part of your account will probably impact something else.
Keeping up to date is key.
I was just about to say, you could have a full-time job of somebody just keeping up to date with Amazon news and the changes, because it was a few months ago when they changed like small and light.
Yeah.
And how much, so, you know, the fees people would be paying on smaller, you know, items, you know, of a small size and a low weight. Amazon had a program around that about it being quite low cost. And then they just decided to put a little update. That's now changing.
Yeah.
That massively impacted so many of our clients.
Well, one of our clients had a fee that went from, I think, 84p to £1.36. Yeah. And these were quite low cost items anyway. Obviously, it had to be huge under difference. £10 yeah, for that huge program. So a 50p increase on one fee per unit had a massive impact on the margin. And if you weren't aware of that change coming to place, it wasn't as if there was a regular reminder across Amazon. It was in one place, one message, and then you just had to know that it was happening.
Yeah.
And I think, what, 26th of September, something around that date, it just flipped and the fees changed, and it could have impacted
such your account. A random date as well.
It's not 1st of Jan.
No, just like 26th September.
How many sellers do you think still haven't calculated their margins based on that change?
Well, none of ours.
But thousands will, and that's the thing. And then some of them will now be in negative margins and things. So that's a really, really important thing, isn't it? Making sure you get the fundamentals and making sure that you do stay up to date, because things change by category as well, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say, the disbursement date, when they just randomly change that it's now going to be when you will get paid from Amazon, it's now changing to when the item's been received, not shipped.
Yes.
And again, just a small little note about that, but that massively impacts accounting for our clients and anyone else who sells on Amazon.
And the media made a big thing about that, didn't they, Gary? And people have had their money withheld, and the truth is actually, it was it was you were informed, but people didn't stay. Yeah. And that's actually a really good real world example of that, where people had gone to the news and go, Amazon are withholding all our money and da da da, when actually they just hadn't stayed up to date with the change that was happening and why it was happening.
Yeah.
And now that change is being rolled out the end of this year, isn't it? Now they've decided to make.
They've already switched some.
Yeah, but they've given people a buffer, haven't they, with a lot of that? And that becomes a huge thing. And I think that really shows that people don't keep up to date and then they just panic. It's a bit crazy. And because we're on it, we know. And that gives us the upper hand.
Yeah, but they change. News comes out every day or two, either whether it be information on a webinar that they're doing, but I would say at least once or twice a week there is a news update about something. It might not necessarily be relevant to your products, but it might be. It could be something to do with Seller Central as a whole. I mean, a good example as well, going back to when I said about what certain search terms you can use, but years ago, you used to be able to. You could put whatever brand names you wanted in your search terms. You could use those trademarks and you could rank well for them and it would impact your ranking. Now, if you put in a big brand name in your search terms because you're trying to rank against your competitors, you'll get removed immediately for a trademark violation. And that's another way Amazon controls that brand content. And I think there is so many little things about Amazon that we know because we've experienced it day in and day out that I'm sure most sellers wouldn't even think twice about that would be absolutely fine to do. And I mean,
what about when they test things?
Oh,
because they do this a lot. They do it a lot in America and it's great. And America's got so many more tools open to it than EU and the UK. It
frustrates me massively.
It's again, you'll just randomly find, and we found this last week, didn't we, that some of our work that we'd done on some listings had just randomly changed and by no other contributor, but it was Amazon testing things.
Yeah.
And again, we had to put it back.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, I mean, little things about, I mean, you're quite good on it with LinkedIn when we spot things, but like how Amazon then appears to customers. So can you remember a couple of months ago, they started A/B testing on searches that the thing that you'd put in the search bar on Amazon started being in bold on the titles. And that's why it was also key then that the listings were optimized, because it could have then been a click-through rate improvement for customers to think, oh, that's definitely what I want because it's in bold, and they click through on it. But if you didn't have the search terms on there, but that's also something that if you're running a seller account, you probably don't have enough time to even think about or spot. Whereas we spot it, we can then make a proactive plan about how do we spin this and be a positive for our products and our brands that we work with.
What about the real common one we hear, which is where I will spend more on advertising to improve a listing, even though the listing is probably at fault.
But your listing is the ad. When people click through onto it, that has to be optimized. You can't have one image, a really bad title, a couple of bullet points that are really undescriptive, no A+. I mean,
throw money at
it. Exactly. You're paying for someone to go to this listing and go, well, that doesn't seem very good. Or bad reviews. If you're advertising a poor review product, what's the point? Because the first thing someone's going to look at is that reviews. They might click on it, but that still costs you anywhere between, 70p, a couple of quid, depending on the cost per click for that product. It's just throwing money down the drain if your listing isn't done. I mean, that's part of our process, isn't it? We have to have that listing optimized before we even look at an advertising.
Anything like that. Because people come to us and say, if I give you more of this ad budget, can we get more sales? And the reality is no, you've got to get those fundamentals right, and that listing and that brand awareness, making sure that people are buying that product. We look at what we call conversion rates, where we see how many people look at a product versus how many buy it. And that is imperative. And that one thing we haven't touched on, just to jump over to something else, is support. This is a really big one, I think, because I think some people get the idea, and this is why I've got a controversial opinion on seller support, where I think that the reason that seller support is so challenging is a good word.
So this is support that Amazon actually...
Seller support, yeah. So support where people will go to Amazon and say, this is a problem, I need you to sort it. I personally believe that the reason seller support is so challenging is because I think a lot of people will go to them and ask them the same questions that they could Google or find out, like, why haven't I got the buy box, which is what we discussed in an earlier podcast, and Amazon won't give that information. People don't know Amazon won't give that information. So what's happening is Amazon support agents are being inundated with really, I don't say weak inquiries, but inquiries where people can look themselves, they could use forums, they could find that information out. And then when we get really complicated issues, brand conflicts, catalog issues, things going on, categories or whatever, we find that the level of support from Amazon is difficult, and that is a common theme across every single seller on the platform. And Amazon are obviously aware of that problem. And I think some people might go into the idea of selling on Amazon, and if they have a problem, they'll go straight to support, and then they get frustrated and they come to us and go, I've tried, Amazon won't help me, da 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 da. You know, and I think that is another thing that is challenging. I think people seem to think that, oh, if this doesn't work, I should go to Amazon and they'll solve it, and that's not always the case. They will need to be able to look into it in yourself.
But I also think another aspect too, most people go into seller support is they actually don't know what seller support needs you to say to them or what you need to send to them to fix these issues. So, I mean, when it comes to brand concerns on Amazon, we pretty much have a checklist of everything that we need to send off to seller support, because it proves that you're that brand owner and you have that, or you have that relationship with the brand owner. And then we know what to submit. So it normally gets done quicker. I'm not saying it's done quickly. I'm saying it gets done quicker than what it could do. And so that also helps. And how we will phrase things to Amazon on a seller support case, we go quite in depth. And I think that's another benefit of why
there's having an art to it.
Yeah, exactly. There's, and having
experience. It's our experience of knowing what those things are. And that's what people find another a huge challenge that people may think. Like, selling on Amazon will be quite easy. Then they get to that point and they go, I can't deal with this. We'll have to go to someone else. And I think that's a really huge part of that Amazon issues that people get.
But I think that's why having an agency like us can be extremely helpful, because all these problems that we've just talked about is covered by us. We will work on every aspect of your account, and we will work with you collaboratively. So it's not, we're not the decision makers for this, but we will advise you, and you can go with how what we're suggesting, because especially when it comes to account health and improvements there, or say when it comes to advertising, as much as yes, you could spend more, they might have spent that if they were running it themselves, but we would advise against it, and so you can save your money in that respect. Or when it comes to content, we can advise how it needs to look. And so all these aspects that you might find difficult or you don't have enough time for, we can then aid with that. And I mean, for the most part, everything's collaborative, so they will work with us while we work with them. It's not like we take complete control and you have no say on it, but we will be suggesting and giving you the lead of what needs to be done. And because we know what we do, we do it with endless amount of clients. We've done it with, I think, is it over 100 now total for the business? I mean, we work with 50 at the moment. It's a lot of brands that we've worked with, loads of categories, and that experience comes with a wealth of knowledge across all of our team. I mean, there's things that you'll know that I won't know, but we can then use that. And you almost, I mean, you say this, don't you, to like prospective clients, that just because you have the agency doesn't mean that you have one point of contact. You get the wealth of knowledge of every single person in that team. And I think that's why it's so important as well. It's not just one person working on the Amazon. When it comes to another business, if they're selling themselves or running it themselves, you then get an entire team of knowledge.
Absolutely.
So. And the way you explain, like, in terms of, like, you know, when we know we guide and we lead the client, we have to do the same with Amazon at times. How many times in a case, because I do it all the time, do you actually have to almost educate Amazon in some cases as to what the problem actually is, where they need to go, how they need to escalate it?
Oh, it can be so frustrating when they say, oh, no, it can't be done. But you know it can, because you've done it elsewhere on other cases. I was like, we know you're wrong. And I think, unfortunately, as much as I don't, as you said, it's challenging at times.
Yeah.
You have to then, as you
they're
said,
overstretched
lead them
with 100%. With what they do. And their whole format is to, I think, go for those really basic things. Why haven't I got the buy box? Why is my product not having an image? Why has it been suppressed? All the things that real kind of experienced people would know. But I think that's what they get they get pushed with. And going on to that, I mean, our experience is what really gives us that edge. And support's a great example of that in terms of the knowledge we know, what they come back with, our experience with, you know, a team of 11 of us. I mean, I've been doing Amazon for 12 years, but then there's, like you said, there's things that you know brand registry and intellectual property violations, all that stuff better than I do, because you're really into that. And there's a lot of things that you've picked up on, things
I think you're really into it.
I think she got landed with a really tough case once.
You gave me a client
and it's kind of just spiraled.
But I asked you about something last week, didn't I, as well, to do with Celeflex, because I have no idea about Celeflex. Yeah.
I don't love it, but I just know a lot of it.
It's something that you've picked up, and that's the thing with you know, and I always say this to people, it's my think about taking on a full-timer to work on Amazon. Yeah. That's great, but you'll never get that vast amount of knowledge, the categories we've covered, the contacts and internal communications we have with people at Amazon, agency partnership program, all that kind of stuff for effectively the same price as what you, less than what you'd pay for a full-time person doing
exactly,
Amazon.
Yeah.
You would never get that, even if you came to someone like me who's done so much. It just doesn't compare, yeah. does it? And that's a really core thing in terms of sort of bit of a kind of a selling thing there. But it's absolutely true, isn't it? It all comes down to experience.
It's basically saying that if you were to run like your own Amazon account on your own, you would still have benefit in using us as the team and come back to us. And you do. You ask us. You know, we all dip in and ask each other help and support at times because they say it's a constantly evolving, changing machine. So. Yeah.